Welcome back to the second half of the Catholic Hour. I'm Mark Peffer, your host. We hope you were able to get refreshed during the break this evening. We have with us tonight Deacon Mike Bickerstaff. Deacon Bickerstaff is the co-founder of the Catholic e-magazine, The Integrated Catholic Life, and he also co-founded the successful annual Atlanta Catholic Business Conference. And he's here with us tonight to discuss how to integrate our Catholic beliefs into our everyday lives. So let's get to our interview with Deacon Mike Bickerstaff. Well, we're visiting here with Deacon Mike Bickerstaff, and welcome to the Catholic Hour, Deacon Bickerstaff.
Thank you very much, Mark. I'm glad to be with you this evening.
Well, my first question to you is, could you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
I'd be happy to. I'm a deacon at St. Peter Schnell Catholic Church in Roswell, a deacon for the Archdiocese of Atlanta, but first I'm also a husband and father. I'm married to Kathy. I've got two children, Chris and Michelle, both of them are grown. And I've got a beautiful daughter-in-law and a grandson who will be three this summer. It's one of the great things about being a deacon in the Catholic Church today is that I was able to receive the vows of my son and his wife and also baptize their child.
Oh, that would be so neat.
In addition, to give you a little bit about my work background, I own a couple of software companies, so I'm full-time involved in that. Plus, I'm also full-time employed at the parish as the director of adult education and evangelization, and that's in addition to my diaconate duties and, of course, my duties at home.
So you're really not really doing anything these days is what you're trying
Staying
to say.
Staying out of trouble.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Sometimes people ask me, how in the world do you find time to do all of that? And the answer is, I don't know. You have to ask God because he provides the time.
I want to get into what you and Randy Hain had started, the Integrated Catholic Life magazine.
Okay, happy to talk about that.
I use that resource quite a bit for my show prep, by the way, and it's a great website and a great online magazine. Tell us a little bit about that. How did that get started, some of the content? And
well, it's to make a long story short, both Randy and I tend to communicate, maybe over-communicate, if you would, via email and all the social media and telephone and the more traditional ways. And I'm constantly being asked for resources or answers or my views or my take on certain things. So I got into the habit of sending out a lot of emails. Well, I met Randy as he was going through his conversion and entering into the church. And I found a kind of a kindred spirit there, you know, who actually sent out more email communications than I did. And, you know, nobody likes to be bombarded constantly with communication, even good kinds. So somebody, I don't remember who it was, somebody suggested, you know, you guys ought to have a blog. You have so much good information to share, you ought to form a blog. And I did that. I went home and over the next couple of days put together a blog and looked at it, and I thought, nah, this is not going to work. There's just too much there, and it's going to rotate off, and no one will ever be able to access any of it. You know, a lot of people have a lot of knowledge, but they don't know how to get to it. So I decided, well, let's scratch the blog and go to a magazine. And the first thought was that we would produce an electronic version of a magazine, you know, every couple of weeks or so. And, of course, that plan didn't work. It got a lot more aggressive than that. And today we're putting out a minimum of five or six new pieces every day throughout the day and have attracted writers that are contributing to this. One of the fascinating items I've encountered in this is the generosity of people. As my role as Director of Adult Education and Evangelization, I bring a lot of speakers, and one of the things we've done at St. Peter Schnell is to create a major speaker series and a guest speaker series, and at least twice a month, every month, maybe with some time taken off in the summer, we have a fairly significant speaker come in, and in the course of doing that, I've met a lot of people from Dr. Peter Kraft, Dr. DeMarco, and a variety of others. And as I meet them, Father Casey is another example of someone who is going to be coming and doing a mission for us this Lent that I have met. And in these cases, I tell them what I'm trying to do with the website, which is simply provide resources and original content to help people integrate their faith throughout their daily lives. We can't be one person at church, another person at home, and another person at the job, and another person in the marketplace. We especially can't be another person on I-285 here in Atlanta. And so we're trying to help people integrate their faith in their work lives and also their public lives and their home lives. And as I convey this information to people and say, you know, we're really looking for help. Would you be interested in writing or contributing pieces? It's amazing. Everybody says yes. And they're all on board and excited about providing information in this new media at this time in responding to Pope John Paul II's call. So we've picked up writers like Father Robert Barron out of Chicago, the Carmelite Sisters, an entire convent of them, Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart out in Los Angeles have joined. Dr. DeMarco, I mentioned earlier, he's one of our foremost philosophers in the teaching world today, a staunch Catholic out of Canada. He is so excited to be writing new original pieces that some of the pieces he's written has actually progressed and become a book that he's got for sale. We have a lot of other people, Matthew Kelly, Father Roger Landry, Pat Lencioni from the business world, local talent like Lorraine Murray, who writes for the Georgia Bulletin, also writes for us. And what we've done is we've taken these writers who have, for lack of a better word, gravitas or credibility behind them, a track record. We've paired them with new talent that we're discovering all over the country, including some of them in our backyard, like Katie Peterson, who's a parishioner at St. Peter Chanel, who's currently studying at the Augustine Institute in Denver. And these young writers, who are mostly unknown, have such great talent and skill that when paired with these other big names, so to speak, it's really putting together, they're complementing one another to the point that the website has just taken off. We're having 100,000 visitors a month right now. So we're very thankful to God for how he's blessed this endeavor.
That's amazing. I didn't realize you were getting that much traffic. That's quite a bit. That's fantastic.
And it's growing very rapidly, so that talk to me next month and it'll be a bigger number, God willing.
Yeah, well, correct me if I'm wrong, this whole concept came out of the speaker series that you do have coming at this parish. And I wanted to touch on that a little bit because you have your annual Atlanta Catholic Business Conference, what you just finished up about a month or so ago.
Just concluded. We had our third annual one on January 29th.
Yeah. How did that go?
Extremely well received. It was in many ways one of the best that we've had so far. Each one's been a little bit different. They've been constructed or put together in a way that builds one on another, yet at the same time stays individual so that you can attend any one without attending the others. Our response to this one has just been incredibly positive. The same thing we're doing with the magazine is what we're trying to accomplish, and I think we are accomplishing through the Atlanta Catholic Business Conference. Let me just tell you the vision and mission of the conference. The vision is through the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the teachings of our faith, that we're trying to bring Catholic business people and professionals in the Archdiocese and beyond together and give them the necessary catalyst to foster their spiritual growth, which is a component we feel is critical for integrating their faith into their work lives. In other words, we need to be Catholic in the workplace just like we're Catholic at church. So the mission of the conference is that it's directed to all Christians, especially Catholic business and the professional community, who wish to more deeply understand the role of their faith in their daily work life and to invest in them and help provide them, increase their knowledge and understanding of how to be Catholic in the workplace. And what we've done in this third annual Atlanta Catholic Business Conference, through our speakers and the table discussions, content, and the Q&A sessions, is we've identified and hopefully answered questions this year such as, what are we working for? What's the goal? What's our ultimate destination? And we've identified those obstacles that maybe impede the living out of faith in the workplace and discussed ways to overcome those obstacles, you know, resulting in practical steps that a person can take to practice their faith in the workplace. And I'd like to mention that just a minute. You know, somebody might say, well, we're not supposed to practice our Catholic faith in the workplace. But actually we are. And so we're trying to bring that to light and get more and more people involved in making good decisions that are both good for primarily their eternal destiny, because we're made for heaven, not for this earth. And two, to make decisions that are foundationally Catholic and right for the good of the social order.
Yeah, I would argue if we're not making decisions based on, you know, our eternal destination, then we kind of have a skewed what we're really all about.
You know? Absolutely, because it's you know, when you look at the social teachings of the Church, the first key theme is the dignity of the human person. It's absolute. And, you know, what you do for a living, what I do for a living, how much money I've acquired, you know, whatever acclaim I might, none of that has anything to do with the dignity that I possess. The dignity that I have comes from God, who created me in His image and desires for me to spend all eternity with Him in heaven. So He's created me for a supernatural end. That's my dignity. And it's because of that dignity that we can lead to the next principal theme of Catholic social teaching, which is the absolute respect for the right to life and the life and the protection of the life of all innocent human beings. Those are critical and key, and they move on to all of the other major themes that are also important. But as we work through all of that, we also have to remember that the decisions we make, even in promoting the social teachings, have to also be cognizant that the decision and the action that I'm about to take has on my own eternal destiny. So if you're right, if we are not, as we travel through this world, if we don't have our eyes fixed on heaven and we're not responding to God's call in that manner, then we're misspending our time.
Yeah, that we're not just Catholics on Sunday, but we have to be Catholics all week long.
Absolutely. And one of the things that has come out over the last 3 years with this particular conference, we had great speakers this year, by the way. Archbishop Gregory was our keynote this year. We had a local crowd this year. We've pulled speakers from around the country, but we've been very deliberately raising the awareness of Catholic doctrine as it affects us in the public life. And one of the things that has become very, very obvious as we've moved through this, through the vision of the conference, is that so many people have it absolutely turned around. In other words, my vocation, a person's vocation in life, is to get to heaven. And it's lived out either in the priesthood, the clerical life, the religious life, the consecrated single life, the married life. That's your vocation. Our jobs exist to support our vocation. But so many people have turned that absolutely around, and they're sacrificing their vocations for the sake of their jobs. And it's backwards.
Mm-hmm. But I wanted to go on to this summer. The National Catholic Bible Conference is coming to St. Peter Chanel in July on the 22nd and 23rd. And you have some pretty big speakers coming into town.
We are very, very excited about this. I began speaking with the folks that put this on, the various sponsors and also organizers, I guess a couple of years ago, and the discussions really started becoming a little bit more earnest and serious the beginning of last summer. We've got a long-term relationship with Jeff Cavins and Tim Gray and the folks there. We also have a Dr. Suri as an example. He's he's the president of the Augustine Institute, which is one of the sponsors of the National Catholic Business Conference. He's also a contributing writer to the Integrated Catholic Life. And so you can see how everything kind of connects together. The Integrated Catholic Life is also a sponsor of this year's National Catholic Bible Conference. So we've got a lot of relationships that have been established over the years, and because of the facilities we have, plus our past success, there's been an interest to enter into the Southeast, if you will, more into the Deep South, and try to bring the good works and the effect and the opportunity of the Bible Conference to the South. And so we reached a decision last year to go ahead and do that, and so we're right heavy in the midst of preparing for this summer's event. You're right, it will be a two-day conference. Attendance will be limited to about 1,000 people or so. We've got a good speaker lineup, including, I mentioned, Jeff Cavins, Dr. Tim Gray, Dr. Edward Sree, Dr. Mary Healy, and also Sarah Christmeyer, Thomas Smith, Sister Timothy Elliott, Father Jeffrey Stinson, and our own Katie Peterson. The type of conference this is, there will be multiple tracks going on. Think of locally of our Eucharistic Congress that we hold down by the airport.
Sure.
And the multiple tracks that are going on. This will be similar to that with a focus on the Word of God. So we'll have primary tracks and other breakout sessions and things going on with it. It's going to take place on Friday and Saturday, July 22nd and July 23rd. And the easiest way to get information about registering, and I would encourage people to register early because this will fill up, would be simply go to the integratedcatholiclife.org, integratedcatholiclife.org, and on the left-hand sidebar is a graphic for finding more information about the conference.
Great, great. Well, I wanted to ask you one more question, too, and this is a little off the topics we've been talking about, but the new missal is coming out. We're going to be using it starting in Advent. And I kind of wanted to get your take on how your parish implementing the new missal.
Well, I'm not sure how old you are, how much you remember from the last time we had a major change, do you?
I wasn't around when it was kind of came down, but I was around when some of the changes were coming through. You know,
yeah. One of the things I remember very distinctly, I'm old enough to have served Mass under the what's now the extraordinary form, and I remember when 1970 rolled around and the what was called the Novus Ordo, the new Mass, came about. One of the things we did a very poor job with was preparing people for the change, and that was going to be a very, very significant, and in some cases for some people, shocking change. One of the things that the church, the local church here, the Atlanta Church, is absolutely focused like a laser beam on doing is to make sure that we don't re-surprise people with these changes. So there's an effort underway all across the diocese at the parish level and also at the diocesan level to prepare liturgical folks, ministry leaders, and parishioners in general for these changes. So at our own church, we will be running some links and some discussions on our website. We will be including things in bulletins, and we will also be providing sessions as part of our ongoing adult education program on Sunday mornings and also in the evenings as we get a little closer into summer and fall, to explain the changes and answer any questions that people may have so that when the time comes, they will be comfortable and understand what their responses and Mass parts are for them.
And it's just an opportunity to reintroduce people to the liturgy. You know,
it is. You've hit the nail on the head. I try not to say that too much. You know, it's kind of, let's get people in and then I can hit them with that. But you're right, the opportunity to increase the awareness of exactly what's taking place in the liturgy is a great opportunity because, you know, there's all sorts of mystical things going on at Mass, but let's focus on two of them real quickly. One is the sacrifice of Calvary is being made present to us. If anyone's ever wondered what it would have been like to be at the foot of the cross, you don't have to wonder. You come to Mass because that once-for-all sacrifice is represented to us in an unbloody manner. And we need to know that. We need to be focusing on that and understand what it is we're bringing and joining to that sacrifice. And another thing that takes place in Mass, if you remember back to Sursum Corda, lift up your hearts, we lift them up to the Lord. The veil of heaven is sort of, you know, separated, pulled back, and we are actually joining in and participating. It's a participation in the heavenly liturgy where Jesus Christ, the Lamb, standing but is appearing as though slain but standing, is appearing before the throne of his Father, interceding as the one mediator for all of us. And joined with him are all the angels and the saints and the martyrs, all those great people who have gone before us, who are now cheering us on, that cloud of witnesses. They're all there lifting up prayers on our behalf and giving glory and praise and honor and worship to God. And the smoke of incense, as described in the book of Revelation, is symbolic of our prayers that have gone to the saints and angels who are interceding on our behalf at the express wish of our Savior. If you're bored with that, I'm not sure what you could ever get excited about. I find, especially when you start sharing these eternal truths, this beautiful truth of our church and this great gift of the Mass that Jesus Christ has given to us, with our youth especially, they really get on fire and excited about this.
Well, Deacon, we're actually out of time right now. Normally I ask you to finish our interview with a prayer, but I think what you just said was kind of a beautiful prayer in itself, and I just want to thank you for being our guest tonight on the Catholic Hour, and God bless the work you do for the church.
Thank you, Mark. I'm very happy to have been with you and share this information. Right. God bless you.
God bless you. That brings us towards the end of the Catholic Hour tonight. We ask for your support for this Catholic radio ministry. We are supported 100% by your tax-deductible donations. Your financial support makes a difference in bringing the truth of the Catholic faith to not only listeners here in North Georgia, but around the United States and the world through the Internet. You can now make donations to the Catholic Hour through our website at www.ttcatholicradio.com and click on the Donate button at the top of the page. Or you can mail your donations to the Catholic Hour at 5003 Timber Hills Drive, Oakwood, Georgia, 30566. That's the Catholic Hour at 5003 Timber Hills Drive, Oakwood, Georgia, 30566. Please join us for our final prayers this evening. Let's pray for Shirley Schmullen, Helen Peffer, Sharon Warner, Bernie Hassan, Lynn Pepe, and Father Kevin Peake, and for Elizabeth Gallimore, and for the repose of the souls of William Peffer, Wilton Daniel Gregory Sr., Joe Murray, Patricia Thibodeau, Cindy Babeka, and Jerry Daly, and for the holy souls in purgatory and the intentions of the Holy Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who wander through the world for the ruin of souls. Amen. I want to thank our readers tonight, Meg Bone and Ken Lampert. Our final prayer this evening, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I might know what so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This is Mark Peffer for the Catholic Hour, saying good night, and may God bless us all.